have to do a bit of housekeeping. I forgot to tell you who the heck I am and why the heck am I standing up here in front of you. So my name is Aaron Connor from EWA Canada. We run a test lab for FIPS 140 crypto as well as Common Criteria. So the exact conformance question that was made, it's not that you can't have other algorithms in there, you just don't get to claim them. So the other stuff can be there as long as you don't claim that in terms of exact conformance. lunch is going to be a little bit later, obviously. Unfortunately, I don't have the time we have to be back from lunch. So you get to mark me down from 1,000 to 999 for that one. But they will be ringing the bells to bring us all back. And I don't know where the CMUF meeting is, but Matt will tell me.
Yeah, it's supposed to be in here.
In here, okay. So we better get out of here. All right, so our next speaker joined Cisco's Global Government Solutions Group in 2008, where he's the FIPS technical lead for Cisco's Global Certifications team. He also provides training on FIPS 140 crypto and security best practices to other groups within Cisco. And he's going to be speaking to us on how we might work together on an internationally acceptable process for algorithm validation. Please join me in welcoming Clint Weinbrenner. You should be there. If we escape, yours should be
right here.
Tab. And that's you there.
I have the right one here.
Oh, you want to drive that one? Okay.
Good morning. This is actually a blessing in disguise. I thought I was going to give you guys a break and let you out early for lunch before everybody sneezed on the buffet. So maybe we can still do that. So let me get this opened up here. How do you open up this one? Oh, there it is.
That's a good question. I don't know. Do you have a file? Is that?
It's a Windows file.
Yeah. Is that it? There we go.
Okay, so this presentation was written by one of my colleagues, Sonu Shankar. And if you were at ICCC 15, you might have seen this already. So if I do it better than him, make sure you email him and tell him. So due to a scheduling conflict, he wasn't able to be here today. So the good news is this was actually written to be a 20-minute presentation. So given that I got 10, nobody hates to waste time more than I do. So let's go. And so if you have any questions, feel free to tweet us at Cisco Cert Team. This will, and if I can't answer the questions specific to the content that Sonu has written, I'll make sure he gets it, and you can then blame him, which works for me. So today we're talking about cryptographic algorithm validation and the challenges we face as international companies trying to have multiple modules certified for different schemes across the world. And as you know, most of these algorithm certifications are very scheme and or country specific. And what happens to vendors like Cisco and some like you guys is you end up spinning your wheels and doing multiple algorithm validations in multiple countries under multiple schemes, doing the same thing to verify the same thing. And so what we would like to propose today is just to have the community come together and just look over some of the stuff we have and how can we work together to eliminate some of this extra cycles and time and money that we're wasting by going through multiple iterations of the same thing in different countries. So, you know, I mean, specifically Cisco this year and in one product, we got caught up in doing algorithm validations for United Kingdom, for Germany, and for Australia for the same product. And each thing was a different CAVP type of algorithm testing, which cost my developers a lot of time to, you know, write out the codes and the hooks to be able to do that. So the problem statement, how do we establish a common internationally acceptable cryptographic evaluation process? And what challenges are we facing today? Well, the biggest challenge is finding something everybody can agree on. Anyone hear me? Different countries have different requirements for algorithms. And this leads the vendor community to having to complete, as I said, multiple different algorithm validations in multiple countries with multiple engineers and multiple opinions upon those algorithms and all the good stuff that goes into that algorithm validation. So, you know, the first thing is we gotta talk about what we do have. And right now, there's four players involved, right? We got the customer and the vendor, and my customers expect that my developers and my engineers code these algorithms in an acceptable way that would be compliant to RFCs or compliant to other standards, right? And then I have to trust my third-party labs to effectively, accurately test those algorithms. And then our government and certification bodies, they have to also be able to trust that the third-party labs are doing the algorithm testing in an acceptable manner that they will find to be pleasing. So when we have this two-way street of trust between the customer vendor, test lab, and the certification bodies, it seems like the path is in front of us. But trust is never enough. Why? Because we have to verify after we have that trust. So we've established we have the trust relationship, but how do we move beyond that? We also need to verify that the evidence used in the algorithm testing actually matches the claims that are being made by the algorithm testing. We want to verify, and if we want to do it efficiently, we have to make it repeatable across all of these bodies, across all of these algorithm validation processes. So we have the relationships, we know we have the trust, we know we need to do the verification. The next issue that I think prevents us from having a unified approach to the algorithm validation is that of international certification bodies trusting one another. But let's be honest, if everybody trusted each other, none of us would have a job, right? There'd be no need for a security industry. So hey, I'm glad they don't trust each other, right? So, scenario one, don't trust the algorithm. This would be a scenario where, obviously, you've seen some countries engage academia to help develop algorithms that are specific to what that country's needs are. But that might not be enough, right? You have the government telling you this is good, and then you have academia telling you this is good. I think we just have to step out of the box and tear down the walls and forget that we're three separate entities and have government, academia, and industry collaborate together to work on these specific sets of algorithms that everybody can agree on and that everybody can trust. If after a careful analysis by academia and industry, you find that these algorithms, that they don't think you should use them, it's probably a good idea that we do not use them. And if we do, we're probably going to be in trouble. So, challenge two, trust the algorithm, but don't trust the algorithm validation process. International agencies, the international agencies we are trusting us to use the right algorithm, but they're not on board with how, say, the CAVP is testing it. So what can we do to keep all these people happy and work towards a singular algorithm testing proposal? And here's something we don't have a hard answer for, right? This is where something we have to decide as a community. What is acceptable? We talk to our people in industry. We talk to our people in academia. We talk to our government officials. And we try to come up with an additional level of verification that will allow us to actually trust what's going on in the validation process. And that could be, you know, this is some examples a couple of colleagues and I come up with. Possibly provide an additional code review that is further into the algorithmic process itself. I don't want to get into that, but do we share the full output of the CAVP testing to show what actually was tested and what was made and found to be correct? Or do we develop a way of maybe verifying a subset of the algorithmic data? This is a place where we as a community can come together and work towards finding what's going to actually help us and save time and money for everyone. The final challenge is we trust the algorithm. Now, we trust the validation process, but we don't trust the algorithm in the way it's used in a specific protocol. For instance, if your company is working with Common Criteria, FIPS, and UCAPL, you'll know it's hard to find one algorithm across the board that everybody can agree on. I take ASGCM as an example here. You have a trusted algorithm, like ASGCM. You put that to use in MACSEC, which is generally a trusted and well-used protocol. But we don't like MACSEC using AES-GCM together. There's a problem, in this particular case, it has to do with the generation of the IV inside of the MACSEC protocol. So how do we gain trust in this particular issue? Well, possibly, again, this is one of those things we don't have a hard answer for. How do we do that? Do we need more info on how the protocol was implemented? You know, the CMVP looks at the crypto module itself. Common Criteria looks at the environment, right? So that's why we have two different viewpoints. So how can we look at this thing as an entire system? GCM being used within MACSEC, being used within an actual box on the shelf. And, you know, in effect, we want to verify that the product is implementing the algorithm correctly, and not only are they implementing the algorithm correctly, but the IV is being generated in a way that's not necessarily above reproach, but it gives us a little bit more happy feelings that the IV has been generated in a secure manner. So this is what Cisco recommends, and we call this Next Generation Encryption, NGE, which is really a Cisco-branded version of Sweet B. So as you can see, for encryption, we went from AES-CBC to AES-GCM. For SHA-1, for integrity, we went from SHA-1 to SHA-256, 384, and 512, and you can read this. I don't have to read it to you. But the focus here, as we develop this next generation set of algorithms, is to be on security, number one. Efficiency, number two. And scalability, number three. And the efficiency part is interesting because, now we're in the Internet of Things. You go to Best Buy and they want you to buy a refrigerator that connects to the Internet. I'll take a coffee pot that connects to the Internet, just upstairs, get that thing going. But then we start looking at low-power systems that you still want to have secured because you don't want some stranger across the world brewing coffee in the middle of the night. Wake you up and get your schedule all off, right? So, in summary, and I'm not going to get you out early to lunch, and I sincerely apologize. That was seriously my number one goal coming here today. At the end of the day, while we're all spinning our wheels trying to figure out what's the best approach for our company, what's the best approach for our customers, what's the best approach for how do we address our third-party labs and our government officials and government bodies, while we're here spinning our wheels, you know who suffers? It's our customers. Our customers are getting outdated, are using technology that's old. Why? Because we're sitting in a room like this arguing over what we should be using instead of working toward a feasible solution for them to have the most up-to-date technology, the most up-to-date security, in an efficient, scalable, and in a very secure manner. So, at the end of the day, I don't think we can eliminate our customers' pain, but maybe we can minimize it by working together and coming to an agreement on what these algorithms we are going to use, number one, how are we going to test them, and how are we all going to accept this. And that wraps up the 10-minute version of this talk. If you have any questions, you can feel free to ask, or you can tweet me, or you can go to lunch and we can, you know, tell everybody this was your favorite talk of the day. Thank you.